UST. Together, we build for boundless impact.
A new era of divided government dawns in Washington. Plus, the push to ban TikTok gathers steam across the U.S., and we'll look at whether the market trends that dominated 2022 are likely to continue.
Investors are bracing for the potential of a recession and expecting to maintain this cautious approach in the new year, which favors the value-oriented defensive stocks that led the way last year.
It's Tuesday, January 3rd. I'm Luke Vargas with Wall Street Journal, and here's the AM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories moving your world today. The U.S. House of Representatives will convene in Washington, D.C. today as Republicans look to deploy their power with a fragile majority in the chamber, while Democrats look to do the same in the Senate. House members are set to hold a closely watched vote around midday to choose the next Speaker of the House. Republican leader Kevin McCarthy of California spent yesterday working to lock down support for his bid, though it remains up in the air, with a significant number of GOP lawmakers saying they remain opposed. If all Democrats back their own leaders, as expected, McCarthy can only lose 4 votes in what is shaping up to be the most unpredictable speaker race in a century. A Ukrainian strike killed dozens of newly mobilized Russian soldiers in Russian-held eastern territory at the stroke of midnight on New Year's Eve in what was the deadliest known assault in months. Russia's defense ministry said on Monday that Ukrainian forces used a U.S.-supplied HIMARS rocket system to destroy a facility used as a base for mobilized troops in the Donbas area of eastern Ukraine. And in a statement carried by Russian state news agencies, the ministry said 63 troops died in the blast. Wall Street Journal Moscow bureau chief Anne Simmons has more on Russia's reaction to the attack.
It's notable that the Russian Defense Ministry actually acknowledged that there were these deaths, but it hasn't given any update on the numbers so far. Losing 63 service personnel is pretty significant, but there hasn't been back-to-back news coverage of this event. Now, the Ukrainians have said that some 400 Russian personnel were killed. Kremlin pundits are suggesting that that number is inflated in order to sow panic and anger among Russians, but it's definitely a massive blow.
Electric vehicle maker Tesla delivered fewer vehicles in 2022 than it initially targeted, capping a year during which the company's stock suffered its worst annual performance as demand appeared to soften and COVID-related production disruptions persisted. Tesla said it delivered about 1.31 million vehicles last year, up roughly 40% from 2021, but the company would have needed to hand over more than 1.4 million vehicles to meet its initial goal of increasing deliveries by 50% or more. Tesla, which didn't respond to a request for comment, said in a news release that changes in how the company produces cars and distributes them to customers left more vehicles in transit to their final destination at year end. Southwest Airlines returned to more normal operations over the weekend as the carrier is still being tested by weather conditions and an air traffic control computer issue in Florida. Flight disruptions across the industry mounted Monday afternoon. Southwest said it was monitoring the impact of the slowdown on its operations and said it would work to minimize customer disruptions. In sports, yesterday night's marquee NFL game between the Buffalo Bills and Cincinnati Bengals was suspended after Bills safety DeMar Hamlin collapsed during play. In a Twitter post early today, the Bills said that Hamlin suffered cardiac arrest and that his heartbeat was restored on the field. The team added that Hamlin remains in critical condition at a Cincinnati hospital. And on tap today, S&P Global is set to release its final 2022 Purchasing Managers Index for U.S. manufacturing in December, while the Commerce Department is due to report on November construction spending. The public debate over whether to blacklist social media app TikTok in the US is set to play out today far from Washington, D.C., in Rapid City, South Dakota, where the city council is set to hold a public debate on banning TikTok from city-owned devices and networks. That face-off comes amid concerns the app could be a security threat and amid a groundswell of moves by federal and state politicians to ban it. Wall Street Journal reporter Stu Wu joins us now with the latest on the TikTok regulatory push. Hey, Stu, thanks for being with us.
Hey, thanks for having me, Luke.
It's our pleasure. So tell us, if you could, about this debate in Rapid City, which we should note does seem to be entangled in local politics to a degree, and ultimately what this debate boils down to.
That's right. What really interests me about this Rapid City debate is it's really the first public debate, to my knowledge, of whether to ban TikTok in America. So Congress has banned TikTok from federal devices. Some state legislatures are considering the same thing, but they actually haven't had any debates about this yet. So Rapid City, population 76,000, the second biggest city in South Dakota, is the first. And it comes down to two things, I think. First is this national security debate. So the FBI and other federal agencies are saying TikTok is a threat because the Chinese government could order TikTok, which is owned by a Chinese company, to collect data on Americans. And they can also control, potentially, what videos Americans see on this app. So that's why this local councilman in Rapid City has introduced this bill. He said, well, the state's worried about this. Congress is worried about this. Why shouldn't Rapid City be worried about this? But I think the second wrinkle that we have to consider here is that the council member who introduced this legislation, this proposal, is a potential mayoral candidate in this June's mayor's election. And he's on one side, and on the other side is a woman, a councilwoman, who says, this is ridiculous. There's no evidence that TikTok's a security threat. And she's also running for mayor. So I think that's the local wrinkle that we have to think about in this situation. ByteDance owns TikTok, and ByteDance has said all along, if the Chinese government ordered us to do anything to collect data on Americans or influence what they view, we would refuse. And the Chinese government says that's ridiculous. That's misinformation that U.S. officials are spreading.
And Stu, to what extent do you think this debate in Rapid City sort of fits into the broader debate over TikTok across the U.S., regardless of, I don't know, whether regulators and lawmakers in Washington are actually going to be watching what happens today?
That's a great question. And I think despite Rapid City being a relatively small city, the two sides on this debate have really kind of boiled down to the nuts and bolts of the debate. One is that there's a potential threat. The people who want to ban TikTok in the U.S., or at least on government devices, say there's no way a Chinese company can refuse an order from the Chinese government. And on the other side, there's a debate saying, well, there's no evidence that TikTok has ever done anything like this. So why should we ban something just because of a hypothetical threat? That's what it comes down to.
That was Wall Street Journal reporter Stu Wu. Stu, thanks for the update.
All right, thanks, Luke.
Coming up, 2022 was the year that big tech stocks fell from glory. So will 2023 bring more of the same? We'll consider that after the break.
The Claude 3 model family from Anthropic is your one-stop shop for enterprise AI. With models at every point on the price-performance curve, you no longer have to make trade-offs between intelligence, speed, and cost. Claude 3 Opus sets new industry benchmarks for intelligence. Sonnet strikes the perfect balance between skills and speed. And Haiku is the fastest and lowest-cost model on the market, perfectly designed for high-volume, high-speed use cases. Join the thousands of enterprises who trust Anthropic to keep them at the frontier. Visit anthropic.com/Claude today.
It is the first trading day on Wall Street in the new year, and what better time to look back on the year that was in the stock market and consider whether those same trends are likely to continue this year. Wall Street Journal markets reporter Hannah Miao has been pulling together the main stock market themes of 2022, and she joins now to share what she's been finding during that exercise. Hey, Hannah, thanks for being with us.
Hey, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. You have been looking at the S&P 500's performance, and 2022 just wasn't a great year for that index overall, and it was a particularly rough year for certain types of companies in particular. Could you tell us what broadly characterized both the index and those specific underperformers?
Yes, 2022 saw a major rotation in stock market leadership. The mega cap tech stocks that led the market higher for the better part of the past decade really struggled last year. Stocks like Amazon, Microsoft, Meta, Alphabet, they all underperformed the S&P 500. And these big tech stocks contributed negatively to the index for the first time since at least 2013. That's according to Bespoke Investment Group. So for the first time in a long time, the S&P 500's heavy weighting to these mega cap tech stocks has proven a liability. You can really see the impact of the big tech stocks when you look at the performance of the Dow Industrials last year versus the S&P 500. So the Dow is a price-weighted index. It has a smaller weighting to tech stocks than the S&P 500 and the NASDAQ. It's known for being the blue chip index with the big, reliable companies of the U.S. economy. And with the market conditions last year, the Dow outperformed the S&P 500 by the widest margin in decades.
I mean, what drove that exactly, Hannah? I know we've covered many of these companies, and they have some particular sort of characteristics. But more broadly, is there something that sort of collectively pushed them a bit lower last year?
Yeah, the Federal Reserve last year started raising interest rates at an aggressive pace in an effort to break inflation. And when interest rates rise, that makes investors reconsider how they think about risk assets like stocks, and in particular, shares of growth-oriented companies that promise a big payout down the line. So for one, when rates rise, investors have safer options to park their money and get solid returns, like treasuries, and also higher rates make future earnings less valuable, which may lead investors to favor assets that generate cash for shareholders now.
And Hannah, there are some sectors of the market that sort of tapped into that dynamic that did fare better than others last year, right?
For sure. When the economy gets rocky, investors often look to sectors that are known as defensive, and these are segments of the market that tend to be steady in any environment. So sectors like healthcare, consumer staples, and utilities outperform the S&P 500 in 2022. And energy companies really saw their shares rise significantly in the last year. And that's because they really benefited from a boost in oil prices, kind of given the geopolitical conditions of 2022.
And finally, Hannah, what are you hearing? Is this trend that sort of characterized 2022 likely to continue this year as well?
Market strategists and investors I spoke with are definitely bracing for more interest rate increases in the new year. The Fed is set to continue raising rates this year, and the messaging officials have had is to expect higher rates for longer. So investors are also bracing for the potential of a recession and expecting to maintain this cautious approach in the new year, which favors the value-oriented defensive stocks that led the way last year. One investor I spoke with, Zach Hill of Horizon Investments, described the market as still being relatively top-heavy in a year that's expected to continue to represent a shift away from low interest rates, low inflation, the environment of the 2010s that we really came to know before.
That was Wall Street Journal markets reporter Hannah Miao. Hannah, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And finally, if the possibility of more economic chaos this year has you nervous, don't panic. That's because Wall Street Journal personal finance reporter Imani Moiz has been compiling advice on how to streamline your expenses and put your portfolio in a stronger position for 2023. In addition to canceling subscriptions, renegotiating bills, or ensuring that your 401k allocation is in line with your long-term targets, Moiz says it's worth making sure you're getting the most out of your savings, especially considering that some online-only accounts now pay rates around 4%.
A lot of the online accounts offer higher interest rates because if it's an online-only bank, the bank can save on overhead and transfer those savings on to the saver. I think more people should get in the habit of really checking if they want to stick with their bank, especially if they're paying any type of monthly maintenance fee or ATM fees, just because there's so many options out there today that don't come with those fees at all. Understandably, a lot of people don't move their money because you typically have direct deposits, maybe a lot of automatic payments. However, you might be leaving some money on the table if you're just kind of sticking with the same bank that you've always had, which is what the majority of people do.
And that's What's News for Tuesday morning. We'll be back tonight with a new show. I'm Luke Vargas for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
ServiceNow is the intelligent platform that puts AI to work for people across every corner of your business, all in a single platform you can use right now. That's why the world works with ServiceNow.